17, the letters. As soon as he had bowed his way out of the king's chambers with ring in hand, Haman summoned the royal scribes to appear before him. Flanked by two of his most trusted patriots, he began his charge. "You are about to write two historic letters, which his majesty in his great wisdom deems necessary for the security of his subjects throughout the kingdom. But I must first warn you that one of these letters is so secret that to divulge its content to anyone is to invite certain death by the king's executioner." The scribes were soon busily copying the text of the first letter. There was an air of nervous excitement in the great hall, where they had gathered as each writer speculated with his neighbor as to the purpose of the letters. Most of them were new to their posts, for up until that trouble with Vashti, all communication with foreign lands had been conducted in Persian, and only a few scribes were needed. Now the letters to the king's satraps, the governors of the provinces, and the princes of every people had to be written in their particular language and script. Experts in the Ethiopian and Macedonian tongues now sat together with scribes who could write in the Indian and Greek languages, and all about them were scribes for each nation and people in the king's vast realm. When they had finished recording the first letter, the new Macedonian scribe turned to the Persian veteran and checked the correctness of the text by reading it to him. "To the governor of Macedonia, greetings and peace from His Royal Highness Ahasuerus, King of Persia and Media, and master of 127 provinces. Let it be known unto all the subjects of your province that on the 13th day of the month of Adar, they must all be prepared for a military action whose nature will then be revealed." "Perhaps it is because I am new here," said the Macedonian, "but I don't understand what is so secret about this letter and why its message is so mysterious." "Shh," whispered the Ethiopian sitting next to him. "The Prime Minister is calling for our attention." "Now that you have all finished recording the first letter," resumed Haman, "I'll explain my instructions regarding the second letter. As you have all noticed, the first letter, which will be made public, fails to mention the purpose of the military preparedness. The one you are about to write will spell out clearly that the purpose is to destroy all the Jews throughout the kingdom, young and old, women and children, in one day." A hush fell upon the stunned assembly of scribes as they looked at one another, hardly believing that they were about to write a death warrant of an entire people. Smiles sprouted on many faces, and some cheers were even heard. But from a few seats there was a faint murmur of protest. "There are some Jew lovers in this room," whispered one of Haman's henchmen to him. "I am well aware that the Jews have good friends in high places," Haman assured him. "And if they were to know of this decree, they would come crying to the king that he rescinded. That is precisely why I have chosen to keep the second letter sealed until the 13th day of Adar, so that no one will know in advance that doom is to befall the Jews. The only threat to this plan is that some of these scribes may reveal our secret, but they will be too afraid to defy me." Shalom.